Zephaniah chapter 2, starting from verse 1.
Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
Now here he's talking to Israeli people and Judah. He said, gather together, O you Israeli people, or Jewish people, you are not desirable. That means you are a bad people. But still, I'm telling you to gather together. Where is gathering? He's come to me. He wants his people to come to him. Even that they are not living according to his will, but he still wants his people to come to him. He is not thinking that everybody should be destroyed. Today people are saying, where Jesus Christ promised and he is not coming and he will not come. According to St. Peter, he says, but God is waiting for each and everyone to repent and come to him. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed or perished. Verse 2.
Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you.
Before, four times he said, before the decree comes, before the God's anger comes, before the day and destruction comes. God is giving chance, not calling one time, calling several times. He says, you know, when God calls, we have to be answering. He says, yes, Lord, I'm here. He's telling people, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Come to me. But how many people listening to the call of God? There are so many times God giving chances to people, but people are not listening. Sometimes some people make a decision, go back to the world. They said, if God gives me one more chance, I will come back. And God gives them a chance and they said, not now, maybe later. The point I'm making, people wait for second call, third call, fourth call, and do not pay attention. Here God is saying, four times giving invitation, come, or repent. Let's read the verse 3.
Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Now he is saying God's anger is coming, not only Israeli people and Judah, but it's coming throughout the whole world. And Jesus Christ says this tribulation, the great tribulation, is the greatest one they never saw before, and it will never happen again. This is the great tribulation, and that tribulation is called the wrath of God. And this is the time he says the wrath of God is coming, but God is giving another call again. We heard four times he said it. Then the first verse he said, gather together. And now he's saying, seek the Lord. God is not lost. We are lost. God is always there. But he's saying, come to me, then I'll come to you. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. God is saying, I'm always here, but your eyes are blinded. So you have to seek me. Seek me like a blind man. The blind man is not satisfied just looking one place. He will be looking everywhere. So we have to seek the Lord like a blind man seeking the stuff he lost. So here is saying seek. And who are the people? Some people are already meek and humble and good people. And there are so many people said, oh, God is not going to destroy us. We are not doing anything wrong. The Muslim people, the Hindu people. Do you know Christian people? They go to once or twice to church. But Hindu people, you will know, early in the morning, 5 o'clock, they get up, go to Ganges River or any river, take a shower early in the morning in the cold water, and then they come and go to their Hindu god and worship and stand in front of their stone, doesn't talk to them, and chant whatever the name they can chant, and they think they are doing good work. And they're comparing their life to Christians or Muslims. They say, oh, Muslims are killing people. That's a bad religion. Christian people, they're killing animals. They're drinking and smoking and all kinds of evil things. That is not a good religion. Do you know the Mahatma Gandhi? He loved Jesus Christ and his Sermon on the Mount. And he was very persuaded to be Christian. But he said, you know, if I become a Christian, my whole India become a Christian without knowing what they're doing. And so the Christian people are not a good example. Only Jesus is. But he didn't know there are several people who are born again Christian living a good life. Changed life. When I was in India, they would say the European people and American people are bad people and they are bringing this foreign religion to us. We don't need that foreign religion. I said, sir, it's not a foreign religion. Jesus Christ was born in Asia. So he didn't come from America or Europe. You are looking American, Europe, a living style. But don't look at them. Look at to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. He can change you. He changed me. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't do all evil things. I used to do it. But Jesus gave me victory. So you come to Jesus. Jesus will save you, heal you, deliver you, and set you free. Many people, they say, how can we go to India and try to tell these people to come to Jesus? Because they are much more holier. They know holy sannyasi. Some of the American followed them. You know, they used to wear the pink dresses and they made some kind of music and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I saw them in the central city and everywhere. They are blindly following the Hindu religion, thinking they are good. And so people are mesmerized, thinking those Hindu people sit in one place hours and hours chanting and praying to their God. And they are peaceful people. They're thinking they are good people and they are going to make it to heaven. But I met the Hindu priests, Hindu sannyasi, and I talked with them and I said, do you lie? Said, no, we don't lie. And then I said, okay, I'll give an example. I'll prove it to you that you are a liar. He said, no, we don't lie. So I said, okay, there is a circle and there are seven road goes to that circle. And one cow went in the number one street. And 5 minutes later, one man comes with a knife in his hand and asked you, sir, did you see cow going? What you will say? First of all, I didn't see it. Or I say, the cow went to the road number seven. I say, is that a truth? He said, it's a lie, but to save somebody's life, we say lie. I said, that's why people lie. That's lie means lie. Our Bible says, yeah, yeah, no, no. More than that is sin. And the word of God says, whoever sins, they will go to eternal hellfire, our lake of fire. He said, what you will do? I said, well, save the cow's life. And he said, how you do it? I said, if the man comes and he asks, where is the cow? I said, sir, you have a knife in your hand. Are you going to kill the cow? He said, no, I just bought the cow and my baby needs milk and I was just cutting the onion and cow ran away and I forgot to keep the knife at home and I just ran with the knife in my hand. I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Hindu person or I'm a Christian person. I don't kill. Could you tell me where the cow went? I would tell him. Otherwise, if he says, I bought the cow and I'm in a business, that meat business, and the cow ran away and I want to kill it, then I'll say, I'm not going to tell you. And the man is going to say, then I'm going to kill you. I say, okay, if you kill me and find the cow, go ahead. The man said, your religion is really good. You people don't lie. I said, no, sir, I don't lie because our word of God says if all liars will go to hell. So the simple thing, people thinking lying is nothing. And there are so many people in this world thinking they can lie, they can cheat in the business, they can do anything, but they can do charitable work, they can go and help somebody, and they are good people. That's why the word of God says you have to be humble enough. Go to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And this is for the Jewish people he's talking about. Jewish people, they just want their land possess and be peaceful in the land.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now he is saying, you want to live in peaceful in this land? You should be meek. Don't try to kill somebody. Don't destroy anybody. Now Muslim always fighting with the Jewish people. And they want land. They want land. The word of God says, be meek. Be humble. And God will give you the land. Everybody can live in peace in millennium. But people have no peace in this world. They just want somebody's land and somebody's life and somebody's property. But Jesus Christ says, you know, you should not be craving for somebody's thing. That is sin. No other God or no other religion will tell you envy is sin or stealing is sin. And only Bible teaches all these 10 commandments. Other countries, nothing sin. Even though you can please the prostitute and you will be still go to heaven. Because he said there was a prostitute and the man was going and she said, come with me. And he said, no, I can't go. And he went and God says, you didn't please that lady, so you cannot come to heaven. That's the kind of teaching they are giving. And just like a Muslim religion says, you know, you kill somebody, you get 72 virgins in heaven. So I say, what kind of heaven you have? In this world, you have 2 or 7 wives. And if you kill somebody, you get 72 wives. I think your heaven is a prostitute center. It's not a heaven. The word of God says no evil, no sin, no murderer, no killer will go to heaven. So our heaven is different than your heaven. The point I'm making, there are people are satisfied in this world doing good things and they pray and next time they want to kill. So the praying is nothing. So the point I'm making, they think their religion is better than ours. That's why some American, when they go to India, they don't know how to tell them to come to Christ. When you go and tell them to come to Christ, they said, we have 33 million gods. Why we need another one? We had enough. But I tell them, listen, 33 million gods you have, but you have no peace. You have no salvation. You have no healing. And you are living in sin. Go to your God and see if he can hear your prayer. The people come and say, oh, I'm sick for 30 years. I said, did you go to all your gods? Yes, I went everywhere. Now come to Jesus. When Jesus heals you, give your life to Jesus Christ. And that's the way we tell people the greatest savior is Jesus Christ. Greatest healer is Jesus Christ. So don't think I'm a good person. God is not going to zap me. God is a love. And the God is love and God is so gracious. That's what the word of God says. We were yet sinner. Jesus died for us. We didn't do anything. But Jesus died for us. The word of God is saying, we have to recognize we are sinners and we cannot go to heaven with sin. God is a holy God. So he said, in this world, you have to humble yourself. What Jesus Christ says, come as a child. Why he say come as a little child? Because child doesn't know prejudice. Child doesn't know good and bad. I'm talking about 2 years or 3 years child. He doesn't know any sin. And so the word of God says, come as a child, because when your heart is like a humble child, then you can receive God. There are people who do not want to go to heaven because of pride. Pride of their religion, pride of their wealth, pride of their denomination they have. If you ask somebody, are you Christian? No, I'm Baptist. Are you Christian? No, I'm Catholic. They don't know what a Christian means. Christian means followers of Christ. They don't make Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will be lost. And people don't know. So the point I'm making, there are people very prejudiced, very stubborn, for their religion, and they know the truth, but they don't want to follow the truth. We have to tell the truth. If somebody says, I'm okay, don't tell me about Jesus, I'll tell them one time. And if they don't want to listen, the word of God says, shake your dust, their blood will not come on you. Recognize what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. But the world denies Christ, they are going to go to hell. Okay, verse 4. Okay. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4.
For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitants.
Israeli people were coming from Egypt. God tell them, you're going to go to Canaan, the land where milk and honey is flowing. But when you're going, destroy everyone who is idol worshiper, who is against us, destroy them. And if you don't destroy them, they will be thorn in your flesh. And some of the people they destroyed, and some of the people are still there, and that's why they are flesh, a thorn in their flesh. They're talking about Gaza. Gaza is still there, and the Gaza was belonged to Israeli people, and they gave it to the Muslim people, thinking that they will have peace. That land was very flourished land, Gaza. When they gave it to the Muslim, at that time I told some people, I said, listen now, within a couple of years you will see that land like a wasteland and very bad land. What happened? Beautiful land, flowers and fruits and everything. They just destroyed that land and made the factories of killing people and destroying people, and that land doesn't have any blessing anymore. But those are the lands like the people in Canaan. Israeli people came and took their land. But when they start committing sin, God said, I'm going to give you in the enemy's hand. That's the time Assyria people came. Nineveh people, you remember the Nineveh was a way. Assyria, the capital is Nineveh. So the Nineveh's people were very bad. They were treating Israeli very bad, and Israeli and Judah. When God told Jonah, go and talk to the Nineveh people, and Jonah didn't want to go. But you know the story. We already studied the book. So now, here we will be reading about Nineveh. Nahum went to Nineveh, and he also preached that destruction is coming to Nineveh. But they thought, well, it's not going to happen. We are going to read in here. But the God is saying, this all the people who are living in a coastland and living in a beautiful places, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to give you their land. And today, Israeli has their land. Let's pray. Let's read verse 6.
And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity.
And God did. Now Israeli people are out of the captivity. They are living in that coastland. They are the shepherd now. They are dwelling in very well. Only these Gaza people, all this border with the Israeli people have. Egypt also, they took it. And Jordan, I'm talking about. Jordan also was taken by Israeli people, but they had some kind of treaty with Egypt, and they gave the Egypt land, and treaty with the Jordan, they gave the Jordan back to them, and then the Gaza was under Israeli. Sharon gave this Gaza, and now we have a problem with these Muslim people. But here is saying the time is coming. All these Egyptians and all these Jordan people and Gaza belong to Israeli people back again. But he is talking about that time they were in the captivity. And now they are not in captivity, but still the land is given back to those Muslim. But that land is going to come back to the Israeli people. And then said, then you will be living in safety and having good life.
I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border.
See, now this happened before, but he's talking about these Moabites and Ammonites. They are still fighting for the borders. Just like Ammon Jordan and these Egyptians and all these people are fighting. And even this Syria, they are fighting for the border, Lebanon borders and things like that. So these people are fighting. The day will come, the word of God says, Lebanon will be completely destroyed and no person will live there anymore. The same way he is talking about these Moabites and Ammonites, those people will be just like he's saying, Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's read a little bit further.
Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be a Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them.
See, here is saying all these people will be destroyed. And God says, I will give their land to you. Israeli people should be living in peace. They say, I'm not worried. God already promised me I'm going to give that land, and land is belong to us. But right now these people are fighting. Even though they had the treaty with Israeli people, Egyptian, as soon as this Muslim Brotherhood took care of that land, and they said, now we don't want that treaty, we are going to destroy Israeli people. But the word of God says, if those people, Israeli people, reading this book of Nahum or book of Obadiah or book of Zephaniah, they should know, and book of Amos, they should know, God has promises these people that I am going to take care of those people, but you have to humble yourself. Today, if you see, Israeli people are not humbling themselves. They are not looking for Messiah. Very few people, only chosen people, but they are not worried. But thank God, what happened? Within 10 years, all these Russian people came to Israel. And some of the Russian people are born again Christian. So what happened? 10 years ago, Israeli people were not allowing the gospel to preach or anybody to get baptized or change Israeli to Jewish people. But now it's changed. Now they gave a freedom because 2/3 people are Christian. And so they are giving freedom now. Now they have at least 5 different television stations. TBN itself, they have their recording studio. And many, many people are starting so many churches in Israel. And so God's word is coming true. Here the word of God is saying, if they humble now and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved. Israeli people, in the time of tribulation, they are not going to be saved unless they receive Messiah as their Lord and Savior. Because some people are saying, oh, Israeli people, they are going to go to heaven. Not automatically. When they have chance, when Jesus Christ comes back after the great tribulation, when Jesus Christ comes back, and they will be beating on their chest and say, we pierce you, forgive us, and that's the time God forgive them. And the remnant, the remaining people, means what? Remnant, guaranteed, preserved, 144,000. In Revelation chapter 7, they have seal of God on their forehead. Those are the people God said, don't touch them, don't kill them, and protect them. And those are the people will be in millennium. And people in the tribulation, whoever receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or turn to God, those people will be saved. Most of the people are going to be destroyed. That's what the word of God is saying, remnant. Let's read the verse 10.
This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen.
Now, this enemy of Israeli people, they are so proud, they are going against God, and they are destroying the children of Israel, but it's a time is coming. God is going to destroy all the heathen gods. Means all the religion who is not a Christian, they will be demolished. They will be destroyed. Their God will be destroyed. Not a single God will be remaining in the time of millennium. So God is saying God is going to destroy everyone, and he's going to bring all those people, even the people from far, if they really repented, if they really believe in God. If you remember, we were reading the studying the book of Esther. And when the the king gave the order to Mordecai and said, okay, if anybody comes against Israeli people, they should be killed. And what happened? Many, many people became Jewish because they knew that this Mordecai and Israeli people, they are going to kill us. So many people became Jewish. But here, the word of God is saying, God is going to destroy all these heathen gods. So those people, when they really believe there is the only one God and Messiah or Jesus Christ, and some people will turn to God. Okay, verse 12.
Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword.
Now, Ethiopian is talking about all these people live in Ethiopia. And even though if you get Sudan, South Sudan and North Sudan, even though they became separate and became Christian nation, still these Muslim people coming and destroying the churches. How many churches are destroyed in Africa? God is still waiting. Other day I heard our president said, it's a good thing, and I was praying that someday president should say something. And this president said, we should have religious freedom all around the world. You should not be killing each other, live peaceably. But if he said by word, I think somebody should be carrying that word. That means somebody should say, what should we do now? Can we send some military? Can we send some representative? Can we go and talk to their kings and other people that don't kill Christians? As long as they don't fight with you, why are you fighting with them? But at least one thing, good thing happened, that president came and stated very strongly, we do not want Christian to be persecuted around the world. Live in peace. We need religious freedom around the world, and that is a good thing. And I think something good is going to happen. So the point I'm making, all these people in Somalia and all these Muslim people, they are destroying Christian people, but the word of God says they will be slain. The time will come, all these people who are against Christianity, those people will be destroyed. The word of God says Jesus Christ is coming from the Basra. When you Basra, you know where the Basra is, in the Iraq. He's coming from there, and they said his clothes were stained with the blood. The people are saying, how did stain in the blood? Not because he died on the cross of Calvary. He stained with the blood, with the enemy's blood was on his body. And so he is coming, and he is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you read in Revelation chapter 19, he comes, get hold of the false prophet, gets hold of the Antichrist, and puts them in the lake of fire alive, and ties the devil for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, devil also will be put in the same lake of fire. But God is waiting, and I say, oh meek people, oh humble people, humble yourself, come. I'm going to change you. I'm going to save you. Savior Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he's still spreading his hands to say, oh, heavy laden, come unto me. Jesus Christ is giving you a call. He says, he's still the door is open. When the grace door is closed, then there will be no salvation. Just like a time of Noah. God closed the door. Noah was not able to open, and all the people start banging. Nobody opened the door for them. Other story in Matthew chapter 25, 5 foolish virgin and 5 wise virgin. When the sound came and the midnight, the bridegroom came, they went in, the door is shut, and the other ladies came back and say, open the door, said, I don't know who you are. The point I'm making, the time is coming, and this Zephaniah, or Amos, or Obadiah, or Nahum, all these books you read, God is giving warning after warning after warning, and nobody's listening. And nowadays in churches, no warning, no preaching about sin, no preaching about repentance, very smooth sailing. I'm going to say, you know what? God loves you. God already forgave you. And just you have to say, thank you, Jesus. No repentance, no asking forgiveness, nothing. The forgiveness asking, they feel like shy, or I don't know why, and they don't want to repent. How about when you take the communion? Oh no, you don't have to repent. God already knows. How about if you make a mistake? No, you don't have to do anything, because Jesus Christ died when we were at sinner. So now you are saved, and why you want to ask forgiveness? But the word of God says, if you commit sin, you have an advocate. You have to confess. But nobody's telling. So here the word of God is saying, all these unbelievers, all these troublemakers, all the people who destroy the Israeli people, they are all going to die with the sword. Verse 13.
And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness.
Now he is telling Assyria, as I said earlier, Assyria's capital is Nineveh. Now the Nineveh, one time God saved, and Nineveh city was a very strong city. They had a big wall, and on the top of the wall they can ride with the horses, and very strong city, just like even the Babylonian people did the same. So they were not afraid of anybody. Here if you read verse 15, we'll be coming there. Okay, you can read if you want. 14 and 15 also.
And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nation, both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows, desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me.
See, he said, this is the rejoicing city. What city? It's Nineveh. They were thinking, oh, have a good time. Nobody can destroy us. They say, just like there is none like God, they say there is none like us. They made themselves proud more than God. Who can destroy us? We are the strong city. Nobody has power to destroy us. That's why they were harassing Israeli people and Judah people, and they could not do any harm to them. Then the God sent the Babylonian and destroyed the Nineveh city. And the word of God says, when that city will be destroyed, nobody will notice that city was there. And so completely destroyed. And recently, they found some kind of Nineveh's writing, and Nineveh's some kind of bricks and things like that. The Bible is lying. Where is the city? But God said, the time will come, nobody will know where the city is. But now they found out. The people living in the city, they said, our city is greatest. We are the great people. Just rejoice and have a good time. There is none like us, and nobody can destroy us. God says, wait a minute. Even though he said Moabites and Ammonites, I will make them like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And if somebody didn't know, Sodom and Gomorrah was not there. And many people said, oh, there is no fire came from heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah was never destroyed. They always say anything against the Bible. But now they found out there was a Sodom and Gomorrah. And now these Moabites and Ammonites, he said, I will make you like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And so if Sodom and Gomorrah was not there, we are reading in the New Testament, even that Jesus Christ used the word. So I believe there was a city, Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed that city. And now he's saying, I'm going to make the same thing like Ammonites and Moabites, and they will be destroyed. And I said earlier, even the Syria and Lebanon will be destroyed. And people will think, how God is going to do? But Syria killing in their own people. And if you see right now, it looks like a wasteland. There won't be any Lebanon. There won't be anything. And so God's prophecy never goes wrong. God said this thousands of years ago. And what he said, he did. And Nineveh city was the strongest city. God says, I have compassion on this city. Millions of people, they don't know what they're doing. But when they repented, and when from the animal to the little children and everyone fasted, God said, okay, I'm not going to destroy them. Give them chance. Here the word of God is saying, the time is coming. when you don't listen to God and do whatever you want to do, I'm going to destroy you. And God completely destroyed Nineveh. And recently people found out that Nineveh is destroyed. So the point I'm making, strong people, healthy people, religious people, self-righteous people, thinking that nobody can do any harm to them, they have lots of money. So the money is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And the word of God is saying in this book, listen, I'm giving you chances, not one chance, chances after chances after chances. And if you don't come, you are going to be destroyed. Your pride, your buildings, your strong army is nothing against God. God is a much stronger than anybody. His one angel can kill thousands of people in one shot. So God is a strong God. God is a merciful God. God is love, and what? God is consuming fire. We have to tell people. There are people, they're thinking we are doing okay. Somebody has to lead them. We are thankful to God. God has given us grace. We are born again children of God. We are not going to sit in a cozy room. Let's stay here on the near the fireplace and have a good time. We don't have to go to church today. Pastor understands. You don't come to please pastor. You're coming to please God. God is looking at your heart. If you have a job, what do? You go to work. You go. You struggle to go to work. This is more than a work. This is the best thing we do. We don't know tomorrow we'll be alive. Whatever the time we are given to us, we say, thank you, Jesus, for today. Tomorrow is not ours. We should be thankful to God. Now, this book we read, Zephaniah, it happened all long time ago. The Nineveh is destroyed. All other things are, the Israeli people are free. They are not captive anymore. But why are we reading? We are reading what God did then. He can do it today. God is giving us chances and warnings to come. And so Christian people, sometimes they say, it's not my job to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't want to talk to somebody and they say something bad. I want to keep myself away from these people. No. If they punch you, thank God. You say, thank God I got a chance to suffer for Christ's sake. Jesus gave his last drop of blood. Are we doing anything?
This is a rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand.
So here you say, this city in front of you, destroyed, desolate, and proud city, rejoicing. But the city, what he said? Nobody like us. Nobody can compare us. God says, who can compare me with anybody? God is the greatest God, and none like God, and nobody on earth like Jesus. That's what the Acts chapter 4 verse 12, what he says? There is none can give us salvation. No, not on earth or heaven or anybody else. Jesus is the only Savior. And we should be proud. Go and tell somebody. Come to Jesus. Shall we rise? Let's pray. But Lord Jesus, bless people. Give them grace. Give them courage to give the witness to other people and tell them, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is still time left. There are people dying without God and without Christ. But God has prophesied many things. All the prophecies are fulfilled. So we have the proof. What God says, he does. And when he says he will come back, he will come back. When he says he will destroy all the enemies, he will. When he says he will have a millennium kingdom, he will. And so, Lord Jesus, give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.